Good morning, Northwest. It's another day and another blessed time to share and to be in God's house, to praise and to worship Him. And I don't know about you, but I am glad about it. I want to first thank my pastor for allowing me another opportunity to come and to share a word with you from the Lord. I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate the confidence that you have, Pastor, to allow me to stand behind this sacred desk. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things that I like to do when I was growing up. And one of the things that I really enjoyed doing while I was growing up was playing with clay. Now, my all-time favorite, y'all, was playing with silly putty. See, for some of you young folks, y'all don't know what silly putty was. Silly putty was this clay that came in a little egg-shaped type of container. And silly putty, though it was similar to most clays, had something a little different about it. See, silly putty, though you could mold it and shape it and do most anything with it, when you mold it into a ball, you could actually bounce it. So that was fun for me. I mean, I could take the silly putty and just bing, bounce it. But also, you could take the silly putty and you could flatten it, or you could just make other objects with it. But what I really liked and what I was really fascinating about the silly putty for me was that when you took the silly putty and you put it on a comic strip, and you would roll it out flat and just press on it a little bit, when you peeled it off, the picture that was on the comic strip would be on the silly putty. And so I could spend hours just pressing and pulling, because I really thought that was just fascinating. I didn't know how they did that. You could put it and take it off. But whatever the comic strip was, and it didn't matter what comic strip you used, whenever you pressed and pulled, it would be the reflection of whatever that picture was on the comic strip. So for just a few moments, if you allow me, I'd like to just share with you from the topic, the potter, the wheel, and the clay. See, like the silly putty in my hand, I was the craftsman of that silly putty. I could do whatever I wanted to do with it because it was in my hands. So our scripture text is going to come from the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. And I'll be reading the first through the fourth verse in your hearing. And the verses will be shown on the screen. And it says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed the clay into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Now, I really like the NIV translation, but the King James Version uses the word vessel. And I like that word because pot just kind of narrows it down to one thing. But when you use the word vessel, it gives the craftsman, the potter, a lot more to work with, because he doesn't have to make the clay into a pot. He can make it into a bowl, a dish, a vase. And that's how it is with God, because God, he is the master potter, and we are the clay. Because God has formed us from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into us the breath of life, and we became a living soul. So we are clay in his hands, because he can mold us and make us according to his will. Now, at the time of the text, God had pronounced judgment on Judah because of their disobedience. See, Judah was God's chosen people. He wanted to honor them. He wanted to bless them. But their continued disobedience and their refusal to repent put them on a downward spiral towards destruction. But what I love about God is, and we often hear the phrase, he's a God of another chance, and he really is. Because even though they were still being disobedient, even though they were being hard-hearted and refusing to hear, God continued in his sovereignty and his mercy. He sent prophets to continue to tell and to preach the word to them. And one of those prophets was Jeremiah. Now, you have to understand that the task of Jeremiah had wasn't an easy one. Because even though he was telling the people what God wanted him to tell them, it was hard for him to watch them ignore his warnings. I mean, as they continued in their sin, and I'm sure seeing them with the lack of response, and sometimes even their blatant I don't care attitudes, must have given Jeremiah some discouragement. I mean, I believe he would even ask God, am I really doing any good at all? Because see, Jeremiah understood that the message that he had for the people wasn't coming from him. It was coming from God. And so Jeremiah had to contend with the people ignoring him, the people still not listening to him. And maybe that's why he's commonly known as the weeping prophet. But he continued to preach the gospel to the people, to the nation of Judah. But like Israel, and I can't be too hard on them, because we too sometimes can be blatant, can be hard-hearted, and sometimes just don't want to hear. See, because it's kind of in our nature. And I say that because our foreparents, Adam and Eve, though they were made in God's image, because God made them in beauty, he made them perfect, they were sinless people. But because of their curiosity, because of listening to the wrong voice, they yielded to the temptation in the Garden of Eden. And when they yielded, sin entered in. And God's clay, like the clay at the potter's house, became marred. Because the scripture says that while Jeremiah was watching the potter, the clay became marred in his hands. And so we too can be marred sometimes. We too can be messed up sometimes because of things that have gone on in our lives and things that we have done. But the beautiful thing is, church, that I love about the potter, that I love about God, is that when the clay became marred in the potter's hand, he didn't throw it away. He didn't say, oh, I can't use it and put it aside. But he continued to mold the clay. He continued to work with the clay. He continued to see what the clay could be in his hands. I mean, can't you see him? And I don't know about you, but I'm a visual person. So let me just do it this way, if it works with me. Imagine the potter working with the clay, bending and molding it, and shaping it and pressing it, and he finds something that's a defect in the clay. But he doesn't just toss the clay away. He continues to mold and stretch it. He continues to work with the clay because he knows the clay can be something better than what it is right now. So as he is molding it and pressing it, a little here, a little there, he's making sure that he removes any excess, anything, any bubble, anything that could cause the clay or hinder the clay in his process. Because he understands that he has creative control over the clay. And that's how God is with us. Because we are his clay and he is the potter. He molds and shapes us according to his will. And I understand sometimes the molding process can be hard. And I've watched people when they're making different things, and I even attempted to watch a program on pottery. And I got into it for a little bit, but then I didn't understand all that the potter was doing. All I saw was the person working with a lump of clay. But the potter, he sees more than just a lump of clay. He sees what the clay can be. He sees the potential in the clay. And that's so good about God, because God sees more than what we see. See, the world can look at us and say, you are nothing. And somebody in here today, somebody's told you, you might not amount to anything, that you're just a lump of clay. Somebody might have been discouraged and told that God didn't make you for a purpose. You're just a lump of clay. But all thanks be to God today that he sees more than what the world sees. He even sees more than we see in ourselves, because he molded us and he's making us to be a brilliant vessel for him. And I have to share with you today, because it's not easy being part of the clay. But it's one thing the clay must do, and I have to let you know this is very important. The clay must stay in the potter's hand. See, it's in the potter's hand that the clay can only be molded. See, Jeremiah says it this way, Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. What I'm saying to you today is that God, every individual in this room, was born with a purpose. Nobody in this room was born without a plan that God had prepared for you from the beginning. Now, maybe you don't see it, and maybe some others did not see it and do not see it. But God, and I like the way my grandmother used to say it, don't make no junk. He formed you and made you to be a vessel for his glory. And sometimes we go through things in our lives that dim and overshadow our thought process on what God is going to do. Sometimes people have beaten us down emotionally. Sometimes people have said things to us that has discouraged us from moving forward in our lives. Sometimes people have said things to you like, you're never going to do nothing. You're never going to be nothing. But I want you to know today that God has purposed you for greatness. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're not going to make it, you can't do it, because God has already ordained it in your life. You know, there's a song that says, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. But the only way that you can do it is to remain in the potter's hands. See, even though the process may be hard, and even though it seems difficult sometimes, while you're in the potter's hands, you're still protected. See, the clay, while it's being formed by the potter, is still being protected and covered in the potter's hands. And I have to tell you today, I don't think there's no other place and no better place that I'd rather be than in the potter's hands. But the next thing I want to bring to your attention that we must do as the clay is that we have to remain on the potter's wheel. See, the wheel is the place where the potter does his work. The wheel is the place where the potter places the clay. The wheel is the place where the potter begins to change and mold the clay into the vessel that he wants to use. And I have to share with you the truth that it's not easy being on the potter's wheel, because that's not an easy place to be, because the potter is constantly turning and moving and flattening. I read up on it and said sometimes the potter even takes and smashes the clay on the wheel to start all over again. And that process can be sometimes painful to go through, but it's necessary to go through. Because when God is molding and shaping us and spinning us around on his potter's wheel, he is making and forming us to be who he wants us to be. See, the one thing that I found about myself is that I don't like being on the potter's wheel. I just don't like it. I shared with Pastor between services that I struggle with that. God took me through some processes in preparing this message. And I'm going to tell you what he did. I had prepared the message. I was all set for it. I had got to the end of the last word and got distracted and hit the button and lost it. And I became panicked because I said to myself, I leaned back and said, "Woo, that's some good stuff." And God said, "That's what you think." And it was poof, gone. And I had to start over again. And I was praying and said, "Lord, give me back what you gave me. I just want this. It was so good, Lord. I mean, it was just the bomb. I just thought it was going to be all that and then some." And God said, "That's not what it's going to be." And I was it was difficult for me because the clay wanted to tell the potter how to work it out. But he was yet molding me to be submissive to his will. And that's how God wants us to be. While he has us on his potter's wheel, he wants us to become submissive to him. See, the first thing that happens when you get on the potter's wheel, the first reaction is when things start to get rough, you want to get off the potter's wheel. You want to get off of it. You want to go somewhere else where it's not as hard. But God knows what we need and what he has to do to transform us. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't have it all together. And I'm not trying to act like I do. But I understand that in the moments that God is reshaping me and remolding me, and as he reshapes and molds you through his process, he is doing it not to make us bitter, but to make us better. See, there's a process in which the potter goes through. It's called the kneading process. And I don't know, we have some bakers in the house. Any bakers in the house? Or everybody just does and just pops out. Okay, all right. Well, I know I have one baker in the house. That's my mother-in-law. And she makes this skillet dish. It's a dessert dish, and I really love it. It's a mixed berry dish. And she'll take dough, and she'll knead the dough, and she'll get the dough just prepared right, just so. And then she'll put it in the skillet, and she'll drop little droplets of dough on it, and it'll spread and mold into this beautiful crust. And so as I watch her, that's the process God takes us through. He kneads us. He starts to knead us and stretch us so we can become who he wants us to be. And through that process, y'all, it's not easy. I mean, when God is actively working on us, he's working in our lives. He's using those times and those things to refine us. I mean, think about it. Have you ever asked the Lord, "Lord, I really want to be more loving. I mean, I just want to have more love for your people. I just want to be somebody that just can embrace your people." And God said, "Okay, I'll do that for you." But he takes you through his kneading process. You would think he put you around people that would just light up your life. But instead, God puts you around some of the meanest, some of the most honorious, They work in my last nerve, folks. But he's taking you because you said, I want to be more loving. So he's taking you through the kneading process, because as he's kneading you in that process, you begin to draw on him more. You begin to rely on him more. You begin to trust in him more. And he begins to develop your love process because you realize, man, I didn't know I could take some of the stuff they've said. I didn't realize I could treat them the way I can treat them now. Because God is taking you through his kneading process. Has anyone ever dealt with someone in your life and you've gone through some things that you said, if it had not been for the Lord, I would not be where I am today? Because if he hadn't taken me through this, I wouldn't be able to say how good God is. I wouldn't be able to say that God brought me through, but he had to take me through the kneading process. See, God is our potter, and he knows exactly what we need. And when he places us on his potter's wheel, he's using not just the wheel itself, but he's using certain instruments, certain things that's going to help us become better through the process. See, it's like this. God can't use you and I if there is still a lot of you and I in you and I. Can I say that one more time? God can't use you and I if there's still a lot of you and I in you and I. Because, see, there's a lot of stuff in us that God needs to work out. There's a lot of stuff that we have that we want to hold on to. There's a lot of stuff that God knows that will hinder our process and our progress in order to be a witness and a light for him. Sometimes God's got to take us through his kneading process and keep us on the wheel because he's moving off some things. He may be trying to get rid of some jealousy in our lives. He may be trying to remove some envy in our lives. He may be trying to move some gossip and some backbiting in our lives. He may be trying to make us more loving so we can be receptive to people who come to us in their time of need and those people who we may deem not worthy. God is trying to mold and knead us that we can be that witness for him. I'm reminded of the story of the children of Israel. You remember the story. God had delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. He had taken them through the Red Sea. And he had taken them to the wilderness. And as he was going through the wilderness, and this is going to be, I'm not used to this, y'all. The wilderness, God was trying to take them and teach them some things. But as people are, and as we do sometimes, they began to complain. Now, it was really only supposed to be like an 11-day journey. But while they were traveling, they started to complain. They forgot what God had already done, the 400 years of slavery they had just been through. God had brought them through Pharaoh. He had done so many miracles for them, but they got to the wilderness. God had taken them through the wilderness. And when they got to the wilderness, they started to complain. Now listen to this. There went Moses. And I feel for Moses, because we can be some tough folks sometimes. Ain't that right, Pastor? Can you see them walking through the wilderness, and they're just, Moses, why do we have to come out here? Moses is hot. I don't want to be out here. I don't like it. We've been walking all day. Ain't nothing to eat out here, Moses. Moses. How come we got to keep going this direction? I saw a place we could have went. It might have been shorter, Moses. Moses, how come you had to take us from Egypt? I mean, now, It was bad, but it wasn't really that bad, I don't think. I mean, Moses, now we all out here with the bugs and everything, and I don't like, you know, I don't like bugs. Moses, just kept complaining, and they complained so much that they turned an 11-day journey into a 40-year walk around the mountain, the same mountain. And that's how we can be sometimes. The clay can sometimes be resistant to God's movement. Because when God is taking us through his process, we don't understand everything that he's doing. They didn't realize what God was trying to do for them in the time that they were in the wilderness. See, he was preparing them for the promised land. He had to take them through the wilderness for them to become stronger. He had to take them through the wilderness for them to be wiser in what to do when they got to the promised land, because they were going to face some opposition. He wanted to make them tougher because the conditions that they may face, they would have to draw on all the strength that they had. And that's how God does with us when he's taking us through his kneading process, when he has us on the wheel, because he's just making us stronger. He's taking us to his promise. He's got something for you, and you have to be prepared for it. And sometimes he'll take you through some difficult times in your life to get you to where he wants you to be. It doesn't mean that he's trying to hurt you, but all that he is doing, he's trying to help you. And so I encourage you, if you're on the wheel today, stay on the wheel. Because while he's moving and turning, and he's moving and he's active in your life, God has hope for you. God has a promise for you. God has a future for you. But there's one more thing that we need to know about the potter. The clay must be pliable. See, the clay has to be willing to be reshaped. See, even though God has taken us through a lot of things, even though the kneading process is hard and sometimes can be painful, Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But the main thing is that we have to stay on the wheel. But we also have to be willing to be reshaped. See, it's good that the potter has a vision. It's good that the potter has a process. It's good that the potter places us on his potter's wheel. But it means nothing if we're not willing to be reshaped. See, even though it's all for our good, sometimes we can fight against what God wants us to do and who God wants us to be. We heard the song, I Surrender All. All to Jesus, I surrender. And that's what God is asking us to do. That's what he was asking Israel, Judah, to do, was to surrender, was to repent. See, because sometimes when we are messed up in our sins, we can't see God moving and working. And God cannot move and work when we're not willing to come to him and ask for forgiveness and ask God to help us through and ask God to bring us back to him as we should be. And so God has to continuously keep us on the wheel, continuously keep needing us until we get to the place where he can use us. I like watching certain TV shows. And one of my shows I like to watch is the Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition. Now, Chris Pyle is the host. And what's fascinating about this show is that Chris takes these people and he literally transforms them. And I watch him as he works with them. And some of the things he takes them through and puts them through, some of the exercises, I just feel for those people. Because it seems like it's the worst thing in the world. And he sometimes is brutal and brutally honest at times. And it just seems like everything that he's doing is really hurting these people. And for some of them, they even want to give up because the process is so difficult. But one thing they had done that God asked us to do, they surrendered to him. They said, I know you got something better for me. Now, the process may not be easy, but I'm willing to give you the control of my life and let you work it out as best as you see fit. And like Chris Powell, God is doing the same thing with you and I. We need to surrender ourselves to him because he knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. He knows how to work it out for us in our lives. You know, as I watched the people and how they had to endure some of the exercises, you know, in the end, they were thankful. They were blessed. They were freed because they had gone through the process. And that's what God, our Master Potter, does with us. But we have to surrender our will for his will. See, Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. See, when God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house, Jeremiah had to see the relationship God had with his people. He even said, can I do like this, do with you, Israel, like the potter does with this clay? As a matter of fact, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O Israel. And so as clay in the potter's hand, our master potter, he's the one who will make us to be the vessel that he wants us to be. How many people believe they're destined for greatness? By show of hands. How many people in the room believe that they're destined for greatness? Every hand in this room ought to went up. Every hand ought to went up. I'm going to say it one more time. How many people in this room believe they're destined for greatness? That's more like it. Because every individual in this room, God has destined you for greatness. The choice is up to you. Will you allow him to mold and make you to be the vessel for that greatness? See, God doesn't want us to just be clay because he designed us to be more than that. He designed us to be a vessel that's pleasing to him. Now, I will admit, as Christians, it's sometimes difficult to go through God's refining, his molding, his shaping process. But I encourage you today, continue to let God work with you. See, God revealed something to me about Northwest. God has destined this church for greatness. God wants to use us, Northwest, to be a witness and a light to this community. But he's got to take us through some molding processes because there are some things that he wants to work on and some things he wants to remove so we can be better for his service. We're a good church, but he wants to take us from good to great because this community needs to see the light of Christ in us and through us. And sometimes we don't see how great we are. I don't think we really realize the blessing that Northwest is to this community. God has selected each and every one of you, each and every one of us, as vessels for his service. But we have to be willing to allow him to mold us and to make us. And the molding is not going to be easy, y'all. There are some things that we're going to have to deal with that God is going to pull, he's going to stretch, and he's going to pinch off. And it may be some painful things that we have to go through while God is forming us and making us into the church he wants us to be. There are people who see Northwest and hear about Northwest. I had the opportunity, and I was blessed to be part of the Park Ministry. And I shared with Pastor earlier. I said, you know, when I was out sharing the ministry of Christ with these people as they came up, it was more than just the hot dogs that were being served. It was the Spirit of Christ that was being seen. And as the people came, we were able to share the gospel of Christ with them. And some have come to Northwest. Some have promised to visit. But God, through his process, is molding us. Because he's got something greater for us. It's not just for this corner. But he wants to take us higher and further. And he wants us to be willing to allow him to shape us and to mold us for his glory. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to today. But somebody, God has touched on your heart to do some things. And you find it difficult to allow him to move because it's taking you out of your comfort zone. It's not what you're used to. But God is trying to move you to a better and a higher level for his service. He wants to just remold you. Allow him to do that. Stay in the potter's hands. Allow him to work and keep you on the wheel while he's turning and changing you to be who he wants you to be. Be willing to surrender yourself to him. Because I guarantee you, if you do, you will be surprised what God will do through you and for you. But you have to be willing to be molded by the potter. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I have a hard time being molded. Because I want to resist the molding. Because I like the comfort zone. But God is moving and he's shaping. Because he wants me to be better than who I am. Ephesians 2 and 18 says this, and I'm going to close with this. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I said earlier that you were born with a purpose, that God had a plan for you. And it was done from the time you were conceived. God already mapped out your plan. You just have to be willing to allow him to take you through the roadmap and continue to mold and prepare you for what he wants you to do. Now, we heard the words of the hymn earlier. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, Lord, yield it and still." Stay in the potter's hand, y'all. They're good hands. The commercial said you're good in good hands with all state. Well, I got to tell you, you're in better hands with God. Stay in his hands. He's not going to do anything that's going to hurt you. He's going to help you. He's going to make you better. Stay on the potter's wheel. Don't jump off. Because while you're there, he's going to just continue to turn and mold you and make you and help you to be who he wants you to be. And surrender to him because he is there to guide you to your greatness. And the only way you can do that is to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, he's the potter, but he also has blessed us with the instruments and the process for us to become better. And you can't become better if you don't have someone to be with you through the process. See, it's hard when you go through a process, you have no help. I mean, I try lifting weights and I do good when I have a partner. If I'm by myself, I give up real quick. And so that's the way it is while we're going through our process. Jesus is there to push you and to hold you and to guide you and to keep you. And so I encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you today to give him your life. Give him your heart. It's the best thing you could ever do. Because if you were the only person in this world today, Jesus still would have came. He still would have died on the cross, shed his blood just for you. And he's just asking and saying, "Come unto me. Come unto me that I may love on you, that I may bless you, that I may keep you." Because he is the one that will bless and keep you in your life. But you may have been in the church. And you may have been hurt. Because like I said, sometimes we're going to be some rough folks. And sometimes we say things that we really don't mean and we can hurt sometimes, and some things that have been done cause us to walk away. Well, if you're here today, Jesus didn't bring you here just to hear me, because it's not about me. It's all about him. And I encourage you today to give him your heart, because he loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to be with you and have that relationship with you. So I encourage you today. And you may be visiting. Maybe you're a visitor for the first time. Or maybe you've been visiting for a while and you're looking for a church home. Where there's a church on the corner of Congress and 92nd Street. Where the Spirit of God reigns. And that's Northwest Baptist Church. We'd love to have you be a part of the church family. And I just know that God will bless your spirit and your heart as he has blessed so many of ours. And I encourage you today, if you have not accepted him as your Savior, if you have strayed away, come back. And if you don't have a church home and you're looking for one, come. Well, I always like to say the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. And you will be truly blessed in your spirit.